Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
You can see me?
Yes. Yes, I can, in fact, see you.
It's because I have a sheet over my head?
I did not write hags in your yearbook, Sarah. I can see you. You're still here. People are paying attention.
I don't know. I just, like, feel like nobody sees me. Nobody hears me. People take my jokes away from me and then put them on a different podcast and then pretend like they're their own.
Wait, do people do this?
You have before.
What did I do? What?
I don't know. I don't know. I think that, like, if anybody, if, like, either one of us would go invisible just based on the fact that they feel like they're being ignored, like, it would have to be me.
Oh, between the two of us, for yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. It would be you over me. Yeah.
Yeah. But nobody, like, ignores me. I create my own narratives.
Yeah. That's what I thought was interesting about this was, like, I thought the reason she went invisible at first was because what you're saying, like, she felt invisible. But, like, No, the reason this girl goes invisible is because no one fucking pays attention to her, which is so depressing.
Yeah, actually, no, it's because it's Hellmouth, and that's why.
Oh,
that's
right. I'm sorry. We're on Hellmouth, in case you didn't remember.
That's why. It happened. I don't know if, like, I'm supposed to like this episode, but, like, the concept is so interesting that, like, I do like it. And once again, yeah. I'm finding myself being like, I want to know, like, the mechanics of this. Like,
Yes, I had the same exact thought. Yes.
Yeah. I know that it's Hellmouth, and I understand that. But it's, like, what is it that, like, it's Hellmouth, but what makes it Hellmouth? Yeah. Like, what makes it, like, and then, like, what's the initiating factor? Like, and I know that, like, people are like, Sarah, you hate the lore. Like, you literally are complaining about Giles all the time. And I'm like, well, maybe I just don't like vampire lore. Like, which is really bad considering this is Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Mm-hmm. But there's so much, like, more interesting things that's going on besides, like, oh, I'm from Transylvania. Ho, ho, ho. 1, 2, 3. You know?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, like, okay, so in terms of, like, why this is Hellmouth, I feel like they've kind of brushed over it a little bit where it's like, oh, it's just, like, there's something special about this town that, like, makes it easily accessible for monsters or something. I don't know.
It just is.
However,
is it like on a like a Native American burial ground?
That's what I was thinking. It's like it's on like a weird tectonic plate shift situation mm-hmm. that's like causing this. But mm-hmm. where I was more interested was like, how does one become invisible? And like, yeah. obviously the very ending of the episode is pretty eerie and dark in that she's not the only one this has happened to, which makes me wonder how many other Hellmouths are out there. And also like, is this going to come back around? Like, are we going to have like an army of invisible people attacking folks? You know what I mean?
Well, they're literally studying like atomic bombing and like sniping. And yeah. that was pretty great. I don't think, like, I really do think that a lot of these storylines are one-offs and like it's left ambiguous and unknown so that like you have that feeling. But I don't think we're going to like pick it up in the future, but maybe we will. Yeah. But yeah, like I just like find it interesting that it's just, I guess it's just like so mystical and supernatural that just like magic-y stuff happens. And yeah. if you're ignored long enough, you just go invisible.
Yeah. Yeah. It very, very dark. But also we haven't said, we're talking about season 1, episode 11, Out of Mind, Out of Sight, obviously, like duh. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I really liked about this episode that I'm really excited to like explore is we're getting a bit more depth to the character of Cordelia, which feels necessary if we're gonna, if the show wants us to care about her at all and pay attention to her, then we needed a little bit more depth from her. So I was really excited to see this episode, and maybe it's just like one or two lines, but to me that is like, that is growth though. And like growth shouldn't happen instantaneously. It should happen as like a one-off line Cordelia says about like, well, it's better if people are paying attention to you because at least you don't like feel alone, you know, like it's better to have like a one-off line. And then eventually we learn more about Cordelia as time goes on.
Yeah. I think it was about time because I know that she is considered a main character because she makes the credits and Charisma Carpenter, I believe is, I don't know if she's necessarily like famous, but she is, known. She's known in the Hollywood and the universe. So I knew like it was coming eventually. And I definitely think that she like needed this moment. And I don't know if I've been having as much of an issue with Cordelia as you have, because like, I don't take her that seriously. Like she's like kind of like a bitch because like she's a bitch. And I think like I enjoy her like snarks towards everybody a little bit more than you do, but
yeah,
she definitely made me laugh more than once in this episode. And and I'm enjoying her, and I'm curious like what it's going to like, because she's now developing like a respect, I suppose, towards Buffy, or at least like, she's trusting Buffy, because she, when she's going through something, she goes to her. And I don't know. Like, yeah, she's still very disrespectful to Willow and Xander, but I mean, like, I'm sure she'll come around. Maybe.
Well, that's the thing. This is a small bit of growth, and we can't expect that, like, she's going to change overnight, you know? No. Like, that's just not going to happen. And so I appreciated the small moments that we got with her. And definitely my problem with, like, characters like Cordelia prior to this episode is that a lot of them are one note. And it's just like unrealistic. Like people have depth, you know? And so now that we're getting a little bit more depth from Cordelia, I'm like, yeah, this is great. Because yes, she's still snarky. She still has sass. She still hates a lot of people and like gives them crap. But at the same point in time, there's depth there too. Like there's a reason behind the way she's acting. And so I was really excited to get a little bit more from Cordelia this episode, a very interesting villain. And like a very interesting villain mechanic, if you will, of like how this all goes down, and obviously a greater implication for what it this like specific thing has on the world in terms of like the army of invisible people, right? Like that is fascinating to think about. The one thing I want to ask about, Sarah, before we actually jump into the episode proper, is this is the penultimate episode of the season. Now, I was a little shocked that like we did not get Daddy Vamps here, because if assuming he's the big bad of the season and Buffy is going to fight him next episode, I was surprised they had no setup for it in this episode.
Yeah, I assume that there's some sort of a 12 episode season. It's a brand new show. I assume the network ordered 12 episodes probably like mid season, or so it probably like started releasing in the winter, if I had to guess. So I think that like maybe they left it, they're leaving it open to continue to season two, because I'm guessing that they probably weren't sure if it was going to get canceled or renewed, or if it was going to like continue to a season two, or like what that was going to look like. So if I had to guess, I mean, like, and this is all speculation, I actually don't know, I didn't look up, I'm just like thinking like, what could this be? Like, I feel as though Daddy Vamps can continue into season two, and we're going to wind up seeing some sort of like cliffhanger in from season at the end of season 12. At the end of episode 12 of season one. Like, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I think you're probably right in that assumption. And it would make a lot of sense if they did it. And to be fair, they did do like, oh, well, you know, Angel found some kind of codex that has to do with Daddy Vamps this episode that like vaguely gets mentioned, but it's not a huge part of the episode, which is what I was kind of surprised by. So we'll see how much Daddy Vamps we get in the finale. Hopefully a ton, because I do miss him a little bit. I miss him being around, you know?
Yeah. Is there a possibility that we're just going to wrap it up next episode? Like, is it possible?
Like, I think they could do it, but...
So, like, okay, this is what it would look like. Like, the Anointed One is going to lure Buffy to the lair. Right. She's going to go into the lair and then kick, kick, punch, punch, and then somehow beat him. Maybe she'll, like, banish him to the underworld, and then he'd be like, I'm coming back for you or something, and then like eventually we'll see something in the future. I don't know, like, is she at the point where she can actually beat Daddy Vamps, who is supposed to be the strongest vampire in the Sunnydale metropolitan area?
I mean I suppose so. And at this point, she also has like a whole team to help her too, right? Like, it wouldn't be just her doing it. But at this, and especially like, yeah, I don't know. It just feels like it would feel a little bit like we didn't get enough of like Daddy Vamps in terms of like his motive and everything. But maybe this is just, he's the simplest villain we're going to see.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, I honestly think that he's small potatoes. Like, I'm feeling like he is not that strong. Like, maybe he's, yeah. I don't know, maybe he's not really Daddy Vamps and he's just like Baby Vamps.
Oh, Baby Vamps. And later we'll see like Big Daddy Vamps.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's just like, I don't know. It's kind of like he's the like villain in his own story. Actually, I still don't think that he's a villain. All he wants to do is get out from his lair.
Three score he's been down there since.
It's been a while. It's been a while. So like, honestly, like, or maybe he'll be like, you know what? I feel like I want to be good and I want to give up this life of crime and just take my Anointed One and like go to Disney and and live our lives together. And I'm just going, he's like, I'm going to be reformed because.
Yeah, he's like, listen, I'm going to adopt the Anointed One. Yeah. I want to be a literal Daddy Vamps.
Yeah, I found my family and I no longer have to do crime.
Oh, I would love that. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. We'll
a
see
redemption story for him.
Love that for him. But for now, we're not focusing on Daddy Vamps. That's hopefully for the finale. Instead, we're back on Hellmouth at Sunnydale High School. And we, like, we're getting a little more of Cordelia. So she has a boyfriend and they're walking down the hall and she's with this like random blonde girl. And Sarah, I don't know about you, but like immediately I'm like, Spidey senses are tingling. Never seen this girl in my life. And yet we're zooming in on her face. And I'm like, okay, this bitch is a baddie.
Well, I did recognize that person because we've seen her in the Addams Family. So I'm pretty sure.
Oh, right. She was in the computer lab and Willow like basically like, was shady with her.
Exactly. We have seen her before, but I think that your intuition that she is bad in some capacity is correct. And I don't mean bad as just like some mean, bitchy high school student. Like, I think that she's probably, I don't know, she's probably evil in some capacity, but I also think that it is somebody that Cordelia seems to trust. So I can see things like switching up for her in some way. But this girl somehow is even nastier than Cordelia, because like she is like the person that has like the stick and just like keeps poking the fire.
Yeah, yeah, it's no wonder she gets shoved down the stairs. But they're talking about like it's springtime, which is Cordelia's like favorite time of year, because she's getting a dress specially made for the spring dance. She's going with her boyfriend Mitch, and she's like expecting to be, now this is their version of like, obviously, like what is it, whatever, homecoming queen, thank you. That's a fall thing, I believe, right? Homecoming is in the fall. Yeah. So this is like their spring version. So she is going to be May Queen.
The May Queen.
Yeah.
Lucky her. And it doesn't seem like she's up against anybody. It just seems like she's going to get May Queen.
Yeah, exactly. She's an easy election for her. Buffy comes out and she smashes into all three of them. And she has like a bunch of stuff that is like a little bit suspicious. And I don't know why Buffy takes the time to like explain any of this to Cordelia, because she's so self-involved. She doesn't give a single fuck about what you're doing, Buffy.
No, absolutely not. Like the fact that she is speaking to Cordelia only like makes Cordelia pay attention to her. I want to introduce Buffy to a bag with a zipper, because this is not the first time that she's bumped into somebody and like everything in her tote bag spills out. Like there is this technology called closures. It could be buttons, it could be zippers,
snaps,
a tie. Like close your effing bag and just stop it. Like stop going around with like your tote bag that's just like gonna spilleth over. If you're going to bring the spiky ball on a chain and a stick, then you gotta close your bag.
And for me one of the more interesting aspects of this whole encounter is when they're like laughing at her and walking away, right? Cordelia's like, oh my god, she attacked me at the Bronze, blah blah blah. They walk away. Buffy has this like longing look after them, which makes me wonder if there is an aspect of Buffy that misses being popular, because we know she was popular prior to becoming the Slayer.
I was getting the exact same read. Like, I think that she kind of reminisces about like her being elected as some sort of prom or homecoming queen. Like, I think that she misses being on the inside. And I think like, you know, I don't think that she's wanting to be friends with Cordelia and whatever the blonde girl's name
Harmony,
is.
Harmony, I think her name Harmony. Is.
But I think that she misses her old life where she had, like, you know, close friends, established clout, like, was popular. She was the cheerleader. She was the homecoming queen. Like, she had all this stuff. And, like, I mean, I guarantee you people were not making fun of her when she was at her old school. I'm sure that she was the one that was making fun of people.
She probably was. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I feel like everybody goes through a little bit of a phase of that sort of thing, especially if you're the one in power, right? So yeah, she has this kind of longing look after the little popular crew. And then we're in class, and they're talking about the Merchant of Venice. And this was very interesting to me because Cordelia did not strike me as someone who would ever participate in class willingly, at least, you know, like she feels more like it's so stupid to like even answer the teacher's questions. But she actually has like a decent interpretation, whether or not you want to say it's flawed, right? Where she talks about how Shylock, he's just whining, it's all about him. And she, I love how she relates it to the time that she ran somebody over that was on a bike, and the girl made it all about herself because Cordelia was so traumatized by it.
I know. Like, this is the thing that, like, even if she makes interesting points in class, the fact that she, like, Cordelia is unapologetically self-involved and self-absorbed, and everything that she says comes out of perspective of, like, things are happening to me. And it gets very irritating and grating. It's like, well, you are so entitled is ridiculous. But it seems as though, like, in Cordelia's mind, like, she is, like, actually participating well in class and is motivated to do well. And I think that it's the first time that I've seen Cordelia interested in anything besides her looks and being rude. Like, and being popular. So it was interesting to see her go after class and, like, ask for help, because the thing is that, like, you know, you would think that she is, and I think that there's, like, a layer of, like, I need to put on a facade towards everybody else. And when she's one-on-one with the teacher, she's able to be, like, more vulnerable. And, like, the thing is that, like, that's why, like, the King of England doesn't, like, admit what kind of cancer he has, because, like, they, you know, like, if you show weakness, then people, like, don't, like, see you in power anymore. Which is a crazy comparison to Cordelia, but
no, I mean, but I know what you mean, because I totally agree with you. Like, I was surprised to see her saying to the teacher, I have all these, like, unfocused thoughts. And, like, again, the fact that she even cares enough to go the extra mile and get help on that when she knows that, like, I have thoughts, but they're a little unfocused. I do need some help. It's interesting, and it's different than what I would have expected from Cordelia. And I agree with you that I think that when Cordelia is one-on-one with anybody, not just the teacher, but also, like, Buffy later in this episode, we see a lot more of a genuine person rather than who she feels like she has to be as the popular girl from Sunnydale, you know?
Yeah, and I wonder how much of an act she's putting on, because, like, say, like, she's in class, she wants to participate, she has, like, an idea, and then, like, she starts speaking, and she's like, wait a minute, like, I can't have people thinking I'm a fucking nerd. I'm going to like switch it up and like tell some stupid story about myself. Like, and I wonder like how much of it's intentional. It's very interesting. And I think that there's like more to definitely uncover there. Her boyfriend, Mitch, gets beat with a bat. So like, that's the next storyline.
Yeah, he's doing like locker room guy talk nonsense with his friends about how like, he basically like wants to have sex with Cordelia. And it's really, it's wild because all of a sudden we just see this bat and it like whacks him. And I don't know about you, Sarah, but I was like, another death at Sunnydale.
I thought so too. And I was like, well, I mean, that was a good time. It was kind of funny just seeing like this like wooden bat get hit. It was very the Troll in the Dungeon. Harry Potter, where they were lifting up that club and like hitting him. So he gets knocked out in the locker room. This is like another thought. Like, do not be alone in this school.
Ever. Never. Buddy system, people. Buddy system. You need a buddy at all times.
Yeah. This is and I think like he also heard like a female giggle.
Yeah.
And I didn't really have any expectations at this part of the episode, like what this was. I'm just like, oh, like another like creepy monster at Sunnydale High.
Yeah. At this point, I mean, knowing that it was like, it sounded feminine at least, I was like, it's Blondie, it's Harmony. like, that's where my mind went immediately She had a little bit of a spike in visibility. And so to me, that's usually like, oh, that's going to be the baddie of the episode. Then we see Cordelia. She's trying to campaign for May Queen, and she's handing out little chocolates that have C's on them for Cordelia. But
genius.
I mean, she knows how to market, right? Give someone candy, they'll think of you. And she also says, isn't this the bomb? which did crack me up.
It totally, yeah, the bomb diggity.
I can't.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so she goes to give one to Buffy, and she's just like, oh, I don't need the loony fringe vote. And Buffy seems, again, very out of sorts, right? Because she yells after, like, I don't even like chocolate. And then she realizes, like, wow, that was, like, not a cool thing to say. And I feel like it's – I think it's made even worse when Willow and Xander come up. And they obviously have this, like, inside joke about Cordelia from years ago before Buffy moved to Sunnydale. And I just think this is really hammering home the fact that Buffy feels very alone, not mm-hmm. just because she's the new kid in school, but because she has a lot on her shoulders. She's the Slayer, which no one else around her can understand. And she's in this really weird, awkward position where she used to be very popular, and now she's in a new school and she's not popular, but she also isn't quite necessarily always jiving with Xander and Willow because of their shared history.
Yeah, I think that it also is like she is, I mean, like, aside from them being nice to her, like, what does she actually have in common with Willow and Xander? Like, they are more like intellectuals, and it's not like Buffy isn't smart, but it's like, it's not like they're into fashion like she is. It's not like they're into the same sort of thing. So I think that it's just like, gosh, like, I'm trying to fit in with, like, people that, like, maybe she wouldn't necessarily try to meet or click with. And there's nothing more annoying when there's two people who are on a joke and you're the third. It is so fucking annoying. And of course, like, we've all been in that spot, like, where you're, like, on either side of that situation. And I feel like if you are the ones that are in on the joke, it's, like, kind of your job to be like, this is what happened, and, like, let me explain to you why we're laughing about it. Because it's just, like, it's so annoying and so uncomfortable. And it's, like, a human reaction, too. Like, I think, like, it's something that every single person can relate to.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me because I think – if at a glance, I feel like if you were to just look at this group of characters, you would assume that Buffy and Cordelia would be friends, right? It seems like they have more in common in terms of, like, the fashion side of things. Like, it just feels like they would be friends over Buffy being in this group. Of course, she's in the group with Xander and Willow because they're the ones who, you know, wanted to be her friend. They're the ones who approached her and were kind to her.
Well, Cordelia did as well, but, like, the thing was that, like, I mean, what we liked about Buffy from the first episode was that she did not like how Cordelia treated other people, and I wondered because, like, she saw herself in Cordelia and was this is something that I used to do or participate in that I didn't like about myself, so, like, I don't want to, like, continue that, and I'm going to try to, like, be better. But but, like, at the end of the day, like, she's just not, I don't know, like, there's,
she doesn't quite fit in anywhere, I think, is the problem.
Yeah,
right?
That's
She says to Willow and Xander, like, because they're making fun of the whole May Queen thing. Like, they're like, it's so stupid and whatever. And Buffy says, oh, well, we didn't call it that, but we had something similar at my school, and, like, it was really nice. So, like, it seems like she's a little hurt that they're making fun of something that she used to really enjoy. And
I really think it's dumb. Like, I think that, like, I know plenty of people. It's kind of like Greek life. Like, it's like, there's so many people that shit on it. I'm just like, but if it makes somebody happy, then, oh, who said that? There's nothing worse in the world when you make fun of something that somebody else is passionate about.
Yeah, like, don't yuck someone's yum, basically.
Yeah, except I would never say that, but yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Oh, well, no, I just yucked your yum. Oh, my
you
God.
You did. You just yucked my yum.
And I do that a lot. Like, I catch myself, like, I'm, like, a judgy fuck. Like, I'm a Virgo rising. And also, I'm a bitch. So, like, I realize that, like, I do that. And it's something that, like, I recognize and I don't love about myself. But also, I like to judge sometimes.
Well, also, these kids are teenagers. And so I feel like it's so, of course, that Willow and Xander, who are made fun of constantly by the popular kids, like, are going to hate on what is essentially a popularity contest, right? Like, I understand where they're coming from. But of course, Buffy is, like, falls in this weird middle gray area. But everything is interrupted when we see Mitch getting wheeled out on a gurney with the new principal there. And again, I was surprised to see him alive. And I love the principal specifically saying there are no dead students here this week.
Score. It's kind of like the sign in the I don't know, like in the beginning of the town, like 0 days your last murder at Sunnydale High.
It's been 7 days since a child has died at our school. Yeah. And so he tells them, like, it was so weird. Like, the bat attacked me. It was floating. It knocked me out. Of course, Buffy wants to go check out the scene. She gets stopped by the principal, who's like, excuse me, like, I think you need to stay away from the crime scene. Stop sticking your nose in the business.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At least Willow and Xander are, like, helpful in that they're there to distract the principal with the idea of, like, Mitch suing the school, which I thought was honestly genius and really funny at the same time.
Yeah, I thought that it's so funny that the principal is so worried about lawsuits. It reminds me of my mom when there was, like, a couple times when I was in high school where, like, my friend slipped on, like, ice in our driveway, and she was just, like, so worried about, like, us getting sued. And I was just like, what the fuck? Like, there's, like, that's my friend. And she's like, oh, like, they're gonna sue us. I'm like, no one's gonna sue us.
Yeah. I mean, in this day and age, maybe a friend isn't as concerning, but in this day and age, if a stranger fell, certainly, like, something to be, like, nervous about, you know?
Yeah. It's just, so you're saying that salt is not a scam?
No, salt your icy driveways for sure. My mom broke her ankle a year ago. Definitely do it.
Who did she sue her husband?
That's not how it works. And also no. So Buffy she's able to sneak into the locker room. And when she closes the lockers where Mitch was attacked, there's just the word look painted across it in red.
Look sweet. What? I still don't understand. Look what? Look at what? Oh, look at me. Look at me.
Yeah, it's basically like, I'm here. I'm in, you know, pay attention to me. But I also think, like, I feel like she could have done a better job at being a little bit more clear with her messaging.
I was going to say, the message is not clear. Like, the message should be like, hey, pay attention to people that you don't pay attention to. Not just look. Like, look at what? Look at the lockers? Look at the ground? Look at what, ma'am?
Yeah, she needs to be clear. Even later in the even later on when, like, she's with the Cordelia and Buffy, I feel like, ma'am, you're not being very clear.
No.
We can fix this.
Yeah, no, I know. But also later in the episode, she wrote in red glitter. So, like, I can understand. Like, glitter can be really messy. And maybe she just didn't want to write more words than learn.
Yeah. Plus, then she would be like, imagine being invisible, but then using something with glitter and getting glitter on yourself. You're forever visible.
Oh, beautiful. Like an invisible glitter bomb.
Gorgeous. Oh my gosh, that's what I'm saying. You could just be floating glitter. So Buffy tells this to Xander and Willow, and they're like trying to figure out exactly what it means. And she's like, usually monsters don't send messages. This is a little weird. So Giles comes up and he's like, well, it's assuming the baseball bat isn't possessed. There's like stuff we could like look into. Maybe it's telekinesis, like an invisible creature. Maybe it's a poltergeist, but he needs someone to help him research. And he asks Xander, and Xander is an asshole. And it's just like, oh, there's homework now. Blah. And when given the option to either research or go talk to Cordelia, he's like, okay, I will actually do the research though.
No, I would just talk to Cordelia. Just have like a good old time with Cordies.
I know. I feel like, okay, let me see. If I had to pick between going to have a chat with Cordelia or researching with Giles, Mm-hmm. At least I think if you want to, if you're aiming to do less work, I feel like the conversation with Cordelia, while maybe painful, is shorter.
True.
So that's true. Probably the better option.
I mean, I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was a bad move by Xander.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. So then we get this conversation between Harmony and Cordelia, where they're talking about Mitch, and Cordelia's main concern is not that he's in the hospital, but that he's not going to look good in his prom pictures because he has black and blue bruises on him.
Makeup, Cordelia, just get some makeup.
Harmony's like, they can do so much with airbrush these days.
They really can. Did you see Paris Jackson's look? I forget what it was. I think it was the Grammys. She's like covered in tattoos, but she like airbrush makeuped herself, and all of her tattoos were completely gone.
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, anybody look it up. Paris Jackson, very beautiful. She's a very beautiful girl, but she has a lot of tattoos. But you know, you're able to cover it.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's basically like, okay, this was really weird. Like, how did you feel like the flashbacks worked for you in this episode?
It didn't work because I didn't like really understand what they were doing, but now I get it. Like, they kept showing situations where they ignored the random unpopular Hags girl.
Yeah, Marcy, I think her name is.
Oh, is her name Marcy?
Yeah, it didn't work for me just because I didn't understand that it was a flashback. Like, for a second, I thought we were seeing, like, again, I didn't know at this point it was an invisible person. It could have been a ghost, you know what I mean, for all we know. I was thinking this was ghost view. This was, like, ghost perspective. And I'm like, why are they saying different things? I thought they were having the same conversation because literally it showed them in the same location. And so I was like so lost. It took me a really long time to understand, no, these are flashbacks we're seeing. I just thought you're they could have right. set it up in a different way that like would have made it clearer or something.
I think you're right. Like, I think that was also my initial interpretation especially because I knew that like somebody, something was hitting the dude with the bat. So I thought that was their perspective, but
yeah.
I think that it wasn't until maybe my second watch or at least the scene where like because there's one part where Cordelia like talks at the camera.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like this is a flashback. But then like it switches perspectives because there's also a different flashback where you see Marcy in the shot, right? So it's like it should be cohesive.
Yeah. That's where I got really confused. And so then we're like back to real time and out of nowhere. So like Buffy is like, hey, Cordelia, can we have a conversation? Cordelia and Harmony are standing at the top of these steps. And like out of nowhere, Harmony just gets shoved backwards and falls down the stairs. And it's just like, okay, this is interesting because it feels like it's all revolving around Cordelia at this point because it's her boyfriend and seemingly, I think we can call Harmony her best friend. And so her best friend.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why Marcy wouldn't just keep targeting Cordelia, but I guess she had like a bigger plan for her.
Yeah, I think it was to get into Cordelia's head. Like, I'm going to attack everyone around you first to scare you.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, so I'm very glad that Cordelia didn't turn it on Buffy because, of course, Buffy's there and wasn't like, hey, you like somehow pushed her because I feel like that would be the easy accusation to make. And then, of course, the principal is there who is still very concerned about getting sued, which is apparently his new hobby.
I mean, he just became principal and like he's already had two big accidents on school grounds in one day. This is not good.
I mean, it's not. There are people hurt afoot, and that 0 days since so-and-so got hurt clicker counter, it's going up. Yeah, we're going
back,
down.
Yeah, zero back days. To zero. Luckily, Buffy is smart enough in the moment to, like, after Harmony says, I was pushed, to, like, investigate further. So she runs up the stairs, and luckily she's able to see a door kind of, like, closing And so she follows it, and she like, she feels something bump into her, obviously can't see anything. And she's in the band room and she notices like one of the tiles moves. And so she yells out, but of course, like there's no one there. She says like, I want to talk to you. I'm not going to hurt you. But she ends up leaving, but she does like, she's suspicious. She knows something is going on specifically above the band room.
Yeah, and she also heard more laughing, like a girl laughing, and she followed the laughing into that room. And is this the part where it was the scene after this where she said that she heard like flute music, or was that later in the episode?
I think, let me think, was it this part? I know she does say it eventually that there's like, no, we should go to the band room because of the flutes. But something I didn't notice my first watch around that I noticed on my second watch was like, it's kind of subtle, but in this next scene, when it's like the Scoobies, is that what they're called? Scooby-Doo crew or whatever. When they're all chatting, as they're walking out of the school, we do see like two FBI guys hanging out in the background, which I did not notice on my first watch.
This is so strange. 'Cause it's just like, why are the how did the FBI know?
That's how, what I know? Okay, that's exactly what I was wondering, because like this, so I guess this is the same day, right? So how would they have already gotten notice of like an invisible person?
I don't know, maybe it's just like big university, big school, they just know. It's like rumor amongst the, or maybe they just know to look. Talking about the Scoobies, Willow is wearing a Scooby-Doo shirt.
She's wearing a Scooby-Doo shirt? I didn't even know. Oh, yeah, she is. Oh, my gosh, that's funny. Yeah, I wonder if that's when they first coined them, the Scooby-Doo crew, the or Scoobies. Whatever they call them.
Yeah, did you, we both watched the Scoobies, right?
Scooby-Doo? Yeah, I've seen Scooby-Doo. I've dabbled.
Dabbled in this, dabbled in the do.
I've dabbled in the do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they talk about like, oh, is this a ghost? But Buffy says, listen, I don't think it's a ghost because when I bumped into it, like it wasn't cold and I didn't go through it. And so she says, like, it was a girl because she laughed. And again, Xander with the creepazoid comment of the century. If I was invisible, I wouldn't use it to beat people up. I'd protect the girls' locker room.
Sure, you so would, funny. Do you believe in ghosts?
What an interesting question. I feel like we've talked about this before, but I'm trying to think, like, not particularly. Like, I don't believe in ghosts as in, like, the spirits that will, like, fuck around with shit and everything. Like, I believe that, sure, like you can feel, oh, I feel like this person that I cared about that has passed is like watching me or keeping an eye on me. Like, I believe in that more than I believe in like ghosts per se.
Yeah. I just feel as though, like, first of all, I respect all ghosts and spirits.
As Sarah looks around her room.
And poltergeists.
Of course, naturally.
But I do feel, so like, if they do exist, I respect you. Mm-hmm. And like, I want no harm and I mean no malice. But also, I kind of feel like it's a bunch of bullshit. And like, it just doesn't exist. And people like kind of like to see what they want to see. But also, like, if that's not the case and I'm wrong, I fully admit and take ownership of that. Mm-hmm. And I want to say on audio, when the robots take over, I respect all robots.
There you go.
I've said this a lot, but I really respect all robots and AI.
Uh-huh. Yep. It's good to know. Good to know.
Yeah. I just want it on record.
Oh my gosh. So everyone is, they're like, okay, we're going to look up missing kids tomorrow and try to figure this out. But like, it's obvious that Cordelia is involved in some way because it's everyone around her. And so Buffy is like, okay, let me try to figure something out. And I love Giles being like, how are you going to hunt something you can't even see? Which is a new thing for Buffy, right? Like, she's very good at the kicky punchy things, but you got to be able to see the things to kicky punchy them.
Yeah, like, I don't know, like, where you would even, you know, do, like start in this investigation, aside from the fact, like, going back to the scene of which you thought that you heard a noise or saw the ceiling tiles get messed up. So that's what she winds up doing. And then, like, this is weird, too, because it's, like, it's almost like the ghost or the invisible Marcy, she's like living in the ceiling.
And yeah, she's living, like, above the band room or whatever.
She has, like, a collection of shit.
Yeah, and I don't know why. So, like, when Buffy's looking around, right, she sees Cordelia and all these girls getting ready, which I'm like, why is this happening at the school? But sure, okay. And that's when she hears giggling. And so she follows it. And she hears, like you said, though, this is when the flute is playing. And so that's when she follows it. Yeah,
creepy flute music.
Yeah. And it's just like, I don't know. I think once once Marcy went missing or went invisible, I think she was just like, okay, well, I guess I can't go home because whatever reason, I guess I'll live here now.
Again. Yeah. But this is so silly because then she's just like, I, as an invisible person, need my knickknacks. Like, I need my troll doll. I need my magic eight ball. Like, I need my, like, old yearbook. Like, I need all of this random shit. It's like,
well, yeah, she needs to make it homey, you know? If you're gonna live above the band room, you gotta make it cozy.
She's just trying to make it cozy.
I think so.
This is my home. So Buffy goes up there. She does, oh no.
No, we have to go maybe. First we're with Giles. First we're with Giles.
Ugh, I'm so bored. I don't want to go to Giles.
Well, we've got to talk about Giles. He's in the library. He hears music. He, like, hears things. And we, of course, are led to believe, like, oh my gosh, it's the invisible girl. She's going to attack him. But it's not. It's Angel. And they have a very interesting conversation where Angel is just like, he's like, oh, I can't see Buff anymore. It's too hard for me to be around her.
It's too hard. She's too irresistible.
Yeah.
I love a forbidden love.
It's so ridiculous. Like, it's like, oh, a vampire in love with a slayer. It's like, did he say love? I don't know where you're in love, but okay.
In lust with a slayer.
It's pretty lusty, I think. But Angel says, I know you're researching Daddy Vamps. And Giles is like, yeah, I'm trying to do all this research I can so that when Buffy ends up having to face him, that she'll be prepared. And Angel says something big is happening, but he doesn't know what. And Giles brings up, there's this, like, codex, the Tiberius Manifesto, the Pergamum Codex. Apparently it was Listen, it's a lot of lore dropping right at this moment. And, you know, I know you get sleepy when Giles talks. I thought maybe Angel would at least keep you awake during this conversation.
But those are not even words. Would you say the, like, frontal cortex?
The Tiberius Manifesto.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Apparently, it contained – listen, Sarah, you love a prophecy. So
no, I actively do not. You love
a prophecy? Prophecies are fun. Prophecies are, like, very interesting to me. I don't know. I love prophecies in a situation. No, in a movie, because in a book.
I'm just trying to be, like, a normal girl. Like, I don't want any prophecies about me, you know?
Well, Buffy isn't so lucky because there are prophecies about the Slayer's role in the quote-unquote end years. And the interesting thing that Giles says here is, it was lost in the 15th century. And Angel corrects Giles and says, not lost, misplaced, and I can get it.
Oh.
Now, this is very interesting because how does Angel know, like, it was misplaced? And how does he have access to it? Because when he does give it to Giles later, there's really not an explanation. Like, it's like, Angel is very cryptic. This is probably the least cryptic he's been beyond that one big episode he had. But, like, even still, I need to know more. Like, I need to know how he had access to all of this. And obviously we're waiting for, like, the Angel flashback episode where we get to see him fucking around with Darla and, like, fucking on dead, like, bodies they drink blood out of, you know?
Yeah, that's gonna happen. Does he just not go to, like, the vampire library?
Is there a vampire library?
Of course there is. You get your vampire library card when you become a vampire. They send it in the mail. Yeah. And they're like, hi, here's all your resources. Just go to the vampire library.
Well, then Giles really needs to get himself a library card.
You can't because you have to be a vampire.
So he's relying on Angel to go to the vampire library.
Yes, exactly.
Right. The thing is they the vampire must have a, and they must have a no drinking rule, because imagine if like a vampire just drank blood and then is trying to check out library books. What a mess. You can't be getting the books dirty.
Well, the good news is that every page at the vampire library is like it's in laminated. Plastic. It's laminated. So it's like easy wipe.
Smart thinking. Genius.
Yeah. I know.
Although a lot of plastic being used, but still.
it's okay. It's like plastic that's like recycled from human bones. So.
Oh, lovely. We love recyclable material.
Yeah. they're very earth conscious.
So Angel is going to go get the codex for Giles. Meanwhile, again, we get another flashback that I found fairly confusing, where this time we're focusing more in on Marcy. And she is like, she gets snapped at by Harmony, who's like, oh, we're talking, okay. Like, she does not want to be, does not want Marcy involved in the conversation. And so this is where I was like, okay, never mind. Like, looks like it's this girl now.
Well, this was like so tragic because it's a bunch of girls in the bathroom and they're like making fun of a teacher. And she like makes this joke about like how his toupee looks like a cabbage. And then Cordelia just like fucking like rips the joke right from her.
Yeah.
It's rough. It's rough.
It was really bad. And we get this like long lingering shot on Marcy just like looking really sad.
She and, looks like a loser though.
Well, I mean, she looks very familiar, this actress. I don't know what I've seen.
Who is she?
I don't know.
You don't know? Marcy from Buffy.
Marcy from Buffy.
Marcy from Buffy. Her real name, Clea Duvall. I know this person, but how do I know her?
I'm looking her up.
How do I know you?
No, but I'm a cheerleader.
Yeah, that's how we know her. Yes,
I'm a cheerleader.
We definitely watched that show. Yeah,
I've seen her in more than just the. Oh my god, she was in Poker Face.
Poker Face.
She was in an episode of New Girl.
It seems like she's just friends with Natasha Lyonne.
Oh, she was in two episodes of Grey's Anatomy. Look at that.
Oh, she was in Happiest Season, the 2020 rom-com Christmas movie that I watched that has Dan Levy in it and Kristen Stewart and Aubrey Plaza and Alison Brie.
There you go.
And Victor Garber and Jake McDormand and Mary Steenburgen. That movie was very celebrity packed. What a cast.
I can tell.
Yeah.
So then this is like, so we're now outside on like the quad and Cordelia is being announced as May Queen. And I just have to say, Sarah, I'm gonna compliment Cordelia here. First of all, her outfits this episode have been really good. Second of all, I love this wavy hair look on her. It looks gorgeous.
She looks beautiful. She is the queen. She deserves it. She gets celebrated. She gets loved. I also really like Buffy's like incognito, like sunglasses and neck scarf look. Like, I think that this is like, this look is definitely a moment. Mm-hmm. And when I was watching it, I was like, I want to dress like Buffy in this scene.
I love the sunglasses totally specifically. Like, they're very, I'm a spy.
She's a spy. They're pink lucite. They're like pink and clear and very cool. And they all notice that there's like some creepy suit guys nearby.
Yeah, the FBI again. And they think that Cordelia has bodyguards.
She could. She would hire them and like no problem. Maybe she should. Well,
because being that popular and their May Queen is her responsibility and she takes it very seriously. So she obviously needs bodyguards.
Yeah. You know what? Like, I think that maybe like part of the goal of getting May Queen is to get the bodyguards.
Okay. I could see that.
It's like, yeah, it's like a school perk.
Yeah. Yeah. You have two guys following you around everywhere. So this is when Willow and Xander hand Buffy like the missing persons things. And she talks about, so Buffy notices, oh, Marcy Ross disappeared 6 months ago. And Buffy notices that, oh, her activity was banned and she played the flute. And last night she heard a flute and she couldn't figure out where the heck it was coming from. So maybe it was her. And Buffy goes to investigate some more. And she's like poking around the band room. She notices this boot mark on a chair. And she notices the same like ceiling tile is kind of askew. And this is when she goes up and notices all of Marcy's little trinkets and bits and baubles.
Her little collections.
Yes.
Good for Marcy. Whatever little pack rabbit. She has a stuffy, like a bear, a flashlight.
I mean, I wouldn't want to live above a doll, like a band room. So I would really pack it in with some like fun stuff.
Yeah. So she finds Marcy's yearbook and she's reading it. And Buffy is like, huh, I've cracked the case. This bitch was an unpopular loser because everybody is writing what, Jess? What?
Hags. Well, not hags, and it's have a nice summer or something, but it's basically hags.
It's hags.
Is what everyone is writing to her. And this fucking killed me. Because if you've listened to this podcast, like, you know, Sarah and I talk all the time about if you didn't care about someone and barely knew them and were asked to sign their yearbook, what did you write? You wrote fucking hags because you had nothing better to do. If you were someone's best friend, you reserved an entire sheet in your yearbook for your BFFs. So this is just like shows how unpopular Marcy was. And I love Buffy being so shady. And she's like, Marcy Ross, so it is you.
It is. And then you see like this little knife like inching towards Buffy. Like, yes. Marcy is about to lose it. Marcy is now on a rampage. Like, it's no longer like her tripping people and laughing at them. Now she's about to go on a murder spree because she tries to suffocate the teacher that was nice to Cordelia
earlier in the episode
with a fucking plastic bag.
Yeah, this is wild. I was like, wow, okay. So like, if you hate Cordelia that much, and like, just kill Cordelia. Why are you going after this poor teacher who, like, I guess ignored her in class or whatever? But she – and the creepiest thing about this whole situation, Sarah, is that she loves to giggle right before she attempts to kill someone.
Yeah. Now, so, like, I really lost all respect and sympathy for Marcy because Marcy is a freaking sociopath. And also she's, like – she is unhinged, which we will get into. But the fact that she is laughing and suffocating poor teachers with plastic bags, I couldn't believe it. So Buffy shares her find – well, Cordelia finds and saves the teacher. The teacher's fine.
And creepy-ass Marcy picks up a piece of chalk and writes listen on the board while Cordelia and Miss Miller are, like, still right there in the room.
Very Matilda of her.
Yeah. And she has terrible handwriting also, can I just say.
Yeah. I mean, it's because she's a loser. I don't feel bad for you, Marcy. You deserve to be invisible. So the Scooby Gang is discussing Buffy's findings of the yearbook. And they're having, like, a conference meeting. I'm like, you will not believe how big of a loser this bitch is. So much so that even Xander and Willow hagged Marcy.
They did. And the thing is, Xander's like, oh, well, we probably didn't even know her. Like, this is such a big school. And Willow looks into it and she's like, we had 4 classes with her last year,
Xander. Awful. Just gosh darn awful.
I love Xander calling hags the kiss of death, too.
It's awful. Like, if you get only a hags, like, you might as well just, like, don't. You might as well just not exist. Move. And she doesn't.
Just leave. Yeah.
She does not. So, I think, like, Giles is starting to understand, like, what's happening. Like, this may not be some sort of ghost, but it is just a classic invisible person.
Yeah, he says it's physics, where basically reality is shaped and created by our perception. And so if people perceive Marcy as invisible, then she becomes invisible.
Fascinating.
So, yeah, it is really interesting. And we get this is when, like, again, the flashbacks start to make more sense here, where we see Marcy in a flashback, like in the same scene that we watched earlier, like asking, or they're talking about the same thing, where Marcy keeps raising her hand, but like the teacher is picking on people other than her. And Sarah, my thing is, Marcy isn't the only one raising her hand, right? If Marcy's the only one raising her hand, or one of two people, and the teacher like refuses to choose Marcy, then I get it. But like, there's like 17 kids raising their hand in this fucking class. How is Marcy that upset that she doesn't get picked by the teacher?
Marcy is just, she's unhinged. That's the thing. Like, she is absolutely unhinged. Look, we were all losers and all felt ignored in high school. Like, you know, you're not the only one that felt that way, Marcy. Like, but you're the only bitch that got yourself invisible.
Yeah, so she starts literally turning invisible, like, in class as she's being looked over, basically. And so Buffy says, like, we did this to her. Like, we're the reason that she's invisible. And in walks Cordelia. And I love this because in the yearbook, the picture of Cordelia is, like, crossed out. Like, it's very obvious that she's going to be coming for Cordelia. Yeah, and, like, Cordelia comes in.
Yeah,
bad stuff. And I love Cordelia coming in and being like, listen, Buffy, I know we've had our differences and you're so weird and hang out with these total losers. Like, way to butter a person up, Cordelia.
Yeah. She has charisma, that's for sure. Yeah.
So funny. She's like, but someone is trying to kill me. And I know you're like, you have really strong and you're always around when like all this weird stuff happens. And you've got all these weapons. And I love when Cordelia says, I was kind of hoping you were in a gang.
Yeah. Well.
Okay. Yep.
Dream big.
And Giles saying like, oh, I've never seen you before. You've never been in here. And Cordelia says, oh, no, I have a life.
That was funny. That made me laugh out loud. It was hilarious.
Yeah. It's so funny. But she's like, I don't care what is going on. Please just like get rid of it. And Buffy asks, like, have you ever seen this person? And Cordelia's like, no, I've never seen this girl in my life.
So. Yes, you have. You interacted with her many a times. She's mad at you for being a meanie.
Yeah. And we hear Marcy's voice saying, like, you're not going to see me coming, Cordelia. I remember you and all your idiot slut friends.
Freaking idiot sluts.
And so Giles says, well, we've, like, so far the messages we've gotten from Marcy are look and listen. And they're like, we don't understand them. And Buffy gives Marcy a lot of credit and is like, no, she's just not ready for us to understand them yet.
She sucks at writing stuff down. It's too much effort. She doesn't have enough materials, not enough glitter, not enough chalk. Like, she's just not very good at communication. That's it.
Mm-hmm. And Cordelia, and they say, like, well, they're obviously going to be doing at the coronation at the Bronze tonight, so Cordelia shouldn't go. But Cordelia's like, she's way eviler than me. I need to be crowned. And Buffy agrees because she says, listen, Cordelia makes great bait.
Get her. Why is the school's inauguration of Cordelia's May Queen at the Bronze?
Why isn't it at the school?
Yeah. I mean, no, she had her acceptance speech at the school.
Everything is at the Bronze, I guess.
Yeah, it's the place to be. It is the place to be. It's interesting that Cordelia is agreeable to being bait.
I think it's mostly that she's like, I just really want to be crowned. Like, I think she cares mostly about that. Yeah.
She really wants the plastic crown. That's what she wants. Maybe it's metal.
She does.
Yeah. Marcy's listening in on this. She is interested.
Yeah. And this is where I think we get a really interesting conversation between Buffy and Cordelia, because Cordelia needs to go change. Cordelia says, oh, so it's like she became invisible because she's so unpopular. That's such a bummer. It's awful to feel that lonely. And Buffy, like, can't believe that Cordelia's ever felt lonely. And Cordelia says, you think I'm never lonely because I'm so cute and popular. I could be surrounded by people and be completely alone. It's not like any of them really know me. I don't even know if they like me half the time. People just want to be in a popular zone. Sometimes when I talk, everybody is so busy agreeing with me that they don't hear a word I say.
This is all very interesting from Cordelia. I think that it's just like an insight on how she feels. Like, I think that she feels as though she doesn't have like any true friends.
Yeah. Yeah. And when Buffy asks, like, well, then why do you want to be so popular? She says, well, it beats being alone all by yourself, which is really sad. And like, listen, I don't have a ton of sympathy in my heart a lot of the times for people who like are super, super popular and everything. But I like that they're putting a little bit of a twist on it, that they're like taking this character who is supposed to be the most popular character in the school and like everyone worships her. And she seems like such a like shallow, superficial kind of selfish person, and twisting it and saying it's also very lonely at the top, being like, the person that everyone is so busy agreeing with me, I don't know that they're actually listening to anything I'm saying because I'm popular. They just agree with me no matter what I say. So do they actually know the true me?
No, it is sad. They don't. Yeah. They don't know the true you. They know who they think that you are, or the, you know, obviously the facade that she puts out to everybody.
Yeah.
They don't know the true her.
And I really liked this. Like, I thought this did a really, again, this sort of change and growth over a character for a character shouldn't happen in just one episode. You know, like, I like that we're getting little bits of it in this episode without it being like a full blown. Now Cordelia is completely different, you know,
which wouldn't happen. Yeah. In reality, that can never happen. So I'm glad about the direction that we're going in.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Giles, Xander, and Willow hear a flute playing. And I love, they're like, how are we going to catch her? She's invisible. And they're like, well, there's three of us, so we have a decent shot. Like,
perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. They get baited, though. They're the bait. They go blindly, follow the music, and then it's a recording. It's not even anything. What fools.
Yeah, fools. They get stuck in a room and there's like a gas leak situation.
Oh no. Yeah, they, she was,
these idiot sluts them over here just getting gassed up in this room.
Oh my gosh.
So they're trapped. Meanwhile, Buffy is like on guard outside of like a closet so Cordelia can change into her gown. They think they're safe. But not so much. And Buffy, I like that Buffy like continues this conversation. You know what I mean? And she also, it was nice to see like Cordelia is a bit vulnerable to Buffy. And then Buffy kind of reciprocates. And she says that like, I understand that even when you're popular, that like there might be something missing. And of course, Cordelia has to come at it with, you were popular in what alternate universe?
The one where like she was just popular like a few weeks ago at a different school.
Yeah.
Ugh, yeah. Cordelia.
And I love Buffy saying, can we have the heartfelt talk with a little less talk from you? And that's when she hears like screaming and Cordelia is basically being like yanked up the ceiling.
I loved seeing Cordelia's legs just like flailing about in the ceiling. It was very satisfying.
It was so funny. This was like the funniest thing to me, especially because like she's like yelling as it's happening and we just see like legs and dress.
It was really a ridiculous thing to see. I loved it.
Yeah. So the trio is still stuck. There's a gas leak. They don't know how to get out. They're going to die of the poison gas inhalation situation.
There were some good characters. Even that Xander was a good character. I'll miss them when they're dead.
Except when he tried to like explode them. Like, his Giles is like, you're gonna blow up the whole school if you do that. Please stop.
That was a bad idea, but at least he was trying.
He tried something.
Yeah.
Buffy is like wandering around. And again, like it's a different take on the like kicky punchy stuff because like Cordelia is basically laying passed out in Marcy's little shrine area. But this is when poor Buffy just starts getting beat up on because she can't see Marcy coming. So Buffy falls through ceiling tiles onto a desk. And then we see Marcy, like the little creepo that she is, open some old school like doctor's bag and inject her with something.
I could not. This is where I'm saying, like, this bitch is a psychopath. Like,
where did she get this stuff?
Yes, exactly. Like, wait, like, how in the world did she have like a horse tranquilizer and put Buffy out with like a rusty old dirty needle? This was crazy. And the fact that she somehow lifted Buffy and Cordelia to the bronze and tied them up to a chair was like insane. Like, how?
I wanted to see the scene of Buffy's body and Cordelia's body just like floating in the air as she's dragging them to the bronze. How far is the bronze from the school? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. And like, furthermore, she also like when we see them wake up from their sedation, like Cordelia is wearing her crown. Like, I can just imagine like the crown dropping and then Macy having to like pick up the crown, or Marcy having to pick up the crown, put it back on, make sure everyone is comfortable. But Buffy wakes up after Cordelia, and then this is where they see like the sparkly letters that say learn.
Yeah, tell me how Marcy was able to not get covered in glitter when she did this. There's just no way.
I know, glitter is like the herpes of the craft world. It's everywhere.
It is. It gets everywhere and it stays there forever.
So what's the three words again? Live, laugh, learn. No, live, that's laugh, not right. Learn. That's not right. What is it?
No, look, listen, learn.
Look, listen, learn. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very similar to live, laugh, love.
Yeah, it's this is like the what every millennial has in their home.
Yeah, this is the creepy version, the serial killer version of live, laugh, love.
Look, laugh, look, learn,
listen, learn,
listen, learn, look.
Yeah.
Once again, like what? Like learn to not be a dumb cunt. How about you learn to not be a psychopath that like tries to take scalpels and cut Joker faces. This was crazy.
Yeah,
this
poor Cordelia's crazy. Face is numb and Buffy has no idea what's going on. And my favorite was when they look at the big learn in glitter and she's like, what does that mean? And she's like, I don't know. Like, ma'am, you're not being very clear.
No, this lesson is faulty. So this is the part where I was just like, okay, Marcy is crazy, and she deserved all of this because she rolls out this little like doctor's side table with all these like instruments and holds up a scalpel and is like, I'm gonna cut this, like, I'm gonna make your smile bigger, Cordelia.
Yeah, she pulled a Joker situation and she's just like, we gotta make that smile, put a smile on that face.
That was disgusting. Why are you doing this? Well, I know why, but.
And Marcy says, oh, you don't get it. You're not the student. You're the lesson. It's all about your beautiful face to be noticed, to be remembered, to be seen. We all want that. And so, yeah, she has like all these like surgical implements and she says, I'm going to give you a face that no one will ever forget.
Yikes. Marcy. So Buffy's tied up as well and she's trying to get out. And right before, no, actually, Cordelia's face does get cut.
A little cut, a tiny cut. Yeah, I think she'll be fine. She could see a plastic surgeon and get that like sewed up real nice. And
well, I think that she's going to have a little bit of a scar.
Not if she uses that like Neosporin or whatever the hell. She'll be
the
fine.
Moderna.
Moderna is a vaccine, isn't it?
No, Moderna.
Oh, Moderna.
So Buffy, thankfully, before things get too crazy, Buffy is released. Or she releases herself. And she untraps Cordelia, who's like begging for her.
Cordelia is just like screaming this entire time. Yep. And I really enjoyed when Buffy yelled at Cordelia to be quiet so that she could basically attempt to like use some kind of superpowered hearing to figure out where Marcy is.
Yeah, the spidey sense. She uses the spidey sense to figure out where Marcy is, which was pretty cool to have everything like slowed down and for her to like take in the surroundings and be able to fight her. And then of course, like on the other side of the pond, we have like Angel saving everybody from being gassed to death.
Yeah, he opens the door and he tells Giles that he brought the codex. He came in through the basement. He smelled the gas and he offers to go in and like turn it off. He's like, it's not like I need the oxygen. So he saves the day. Buffy says, you know, I felt really sorry for you, Marcy. You've suffered. There's one thing I really didn't factor into all of this. You're a thundering loony.
Yes, she is a loony. Yeah. She is unhinged. So the curtain falls on Marcy and she's able to fight her. So this,
yeah,
this
she's what, able to like push her into the curtain, which like wraps around Marcy, making her visible to Buffy, and Buffy is able to like knock her out
a little, but thankfully the FBI comes and saves the day.
Literally 2 seconds later, the FBI show up and they're like, FBI, nobody move. And he says, oh, we're here for, we'll take it from here, ma'am. And this is so strange. And Buffy's like, where were you 10 minutes ago? Good question. Where were they when two random girls' unconscious bodies were bobbing up and down the street down to the fucking Blood of the Bronze?
Oh my god, the FBI is truly useless in this situation. And apparently like, they know all about this. This isn't the first time. They're going to go and get her help. And they because Buffy's like, are you gonna fix her? And they're like, something like that. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, we'll rehabilitate her, is what they say. She'll be a useful member of society again. Sure, Jan. Mm-hmm.
So we cut to the next day at school, and Cordelia, with a little scar on her face, comes up and thanks Buffy. It was very sweet. It doesn't last long because Mitch comes and is like, are you talking to these losers? And Cordelia is like, fuck no, hate them.
Yeah, I was just being charitable, helping them with their fashion problems. You really think I felt like joining that social leper colony? Please.
Yeah. Yeah, so obviously, like, she is not totally on the up and up. Like, she is still trying to protect her image of popularity and, you know, being better than everybody else. But, like, I have hope for Cordelia. She can be reformed.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, I think this is a small step. It's a baby step, you know? I think the Cordelia of earlier in season one wouldn't have thanked them at all. So this is a baby step in the right direction. And then we get like a very, very dark ending to this episode where we're in the FBI building and they bring Marcy into a classroom. And it turns out everyone in the classroom is invisible. And like you said, they open up a chapter on assassination and infiltration. And it's like, holy fuck. Dark.
Yeah. Yeah, it is dark. So, yeah, she's going to be a helpful member of society, but she's going to be like a sniper probably. And she says it's like cool. So, I mean, like, I feel as though, like, the FBI shouldn't be hiring unhinged teenagers as, you know, sniper people.
Seriously, yeah. Whatever. Like, I mean, obviously she needs therapy, right? But like, this seems like a terrible idea. Let's get emotionally volatile teenagers to be assassins for us. Perfect. No notes.
Is this where I like exasperatedly say like, oh, the government?
Yes.
Okay, sure.
Ah, the government.
This is so typical of the government to hire unhinged, emotionally unstable teenagers.
Yep. Well, so ridiculous. But I did enjoy this episode a lot. Yeah. Like, I really thought that it had an interesting concept, like an interesting unhinged villain.
Yeah.
Greater implications for like the world of Buffy. So all of it worked for me. I just thought it was like a really fun episode. And we got like a deeper look into Cordelia and how she thinks and feels, which was new and exciting. So I really liked this episode.
Yeah, I liked it too. I think that it's interesting because I don't really know if it has much, like if it really like adds to the greater plot. Obviously, we were talking a lot about earlier how we thought that Daddy Vamps was the big bad of the season, and this is the penultimate episode of season one, and Daddy Vamps is nowhere to be seen. We did get like a slight reference, so I guess he's definitely still in the mix, but yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it as well. And I feel as though like this, if these are like the caps of like the corniness and like the issue that people have with season one of Buffy, then I think that we're in a much better spot than we could have ever anticipated.
Certainly. I think like, yeah, if we already hit a lot of the low lows, then like incredible. Perfect. Can't wait to like get to more of mm-hmm. Buffy. Cause like I've been having a really good time with this. I think like, obviously there are always going to be certain things that are don't age well or whatever. And you know, this is a very monster of the week formula currently. Doesn't mean it's going to always be that way. Like we're always going to have like a bigger overarching story. I could have used a little bit more of like information on Daddy Vance if he's like the big bad we're going to be fighting next episode. But that's for next episode. So we'll see what the heck we get then. Do you want to know the title of next episode, the finale of season one?
Uh-huh. Well, I think I do know, but please share.
Prophecy Girl.
Oh no.
I wish it was Prophecy, comma girl. Just Prophecy Girl.
Yes, of course. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
It's not. It's Prophecy Girl.
Yeah, because Buffy's the Prophecy Girl.
Yeah, I think it's pretty straightforward.
She's the girl of the prophecy. The prophecy is here.
Exactly. You know.
Very excited to watch the last episode of season one of Buffy. And then, of course, as we do, we'll do our little season wrap up. And then, of course, we'll start season two.
I'm really excited. I've been really enjoying the show. I'm excited to get into season two, which I know people like really, really love. So I'm interested to see what that's going to be like. But before we do that, of course, we're going to do our little season wrap up. We'll rank the characters, see if it's changed from midway through the season. We'll talk through some of our favorite episodes, our least favorite episodes, so on and so forth. So we'll be back with Buffy in just a week's time. Of course, we're doing Felicity content. In the meantime, we have some really fun, exciting bonus content planned for April, which is gonna be here very soon. And Sarah, you have something very exciting to talk about as well.
Yeah. So myself, along with our friends Melissa Woodward, Adam H, Todd, and Lindy, we have started a podcasting network called Whirlwind Podcasts. And essentially it's just like a group of friends coming together to do some podcasting. I'm doing mostly behind the scenes, like graphics, artsy stuff, but I am doing, so we do a podcast called Previously On where we watch an entire season of a show, but we only watch the Previously Ons. And I am leading Todd and Adam through the first season of Shameless, but they're only watching the Previously Ons, and it's a lot of fun because that show is like gets very nutty and it's very funny to hear them speculate like what the heck is happening. But we're also we also have Whirlwind Investigations, which is Veronica Mars, Inside the TARDIS, which is a Doctor Who podcast. One Indescribable podcast, which they're covering Girls 5 Eva. They just did Mean Girls, the movie, and tuning in with Todd and Tommy, where they're going to go talk about like animation. So lots of fun stuff over at Whirlwind Podcasts, and you can follow my adventures on Whirlwind Pods on Twitter, Instagram, but you know, also Shit 90s Pod. Sister network. Shit 90 Shows taught me you got two little sisters in a short span of time. And she's probably grumpy about it because she was an only child for a while.
Yes. Now she has two young sisters, Whirlwind podcasts, and of course, Talking Shit with myself and Stuart, where we're talking about Schitt's Creek every week. Go check out that podcast. We release them like they come out every Friday, and we try to keep it under 45 minutes at max. So they're a little nugget sized podcast for your consumption. We're having a lot of fun over there. So definitely go check that out. And I'm excited for everything we have in store. We're like finishing up season one of Buffy. We're finishing up season one of Felicity. A lot of fun stuff on the horizon. I'm really excited for April's bonus content. So make sure you're following along at Shit90sPod everywhere, shit90spod.com. Send us in feedback, shit90spod@gmail.com. And yeah, I think that's everything we have for you. So until next time, here endeth the lesson.
Just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.